Make It Right, the manufacturing podcast.
Welcome to the Make It Right podcast. I'm Janet Eastman. One of our most popular Make It Right shows aired earlier this year. It was episode 38, The Leader as Psychologist, Rallying the Troops for a Business Turnaround. And on that show, my guest was manufacturing executive and CEO of Asia Solutions, Steve Pulaski. Steve has held high-level positions throughout his career, even becoming a director at a Fortune 100 company by the age of 28. He was able to retire early in his career, but returned to the business world, built his own businesses, but now he is on a leadership path of a completely different kind. Steve is the author of a brand new book called Infinite Choices, Wisdom, and Change. And I am very pleased to have Steve on Make It Right again. Great to speak to you again, Steve.
Well, thanks, Janet. And it's always a pleasure to speak to you, too.
I think you have been on a very interesting journey throughout your career. You're a talented, highly sought-after manufacturing leader and consultant. So just tell me briefly how you ended up deciding to enter this life coaching phase.
Well, I feel kind of like it was my destiny. I've always enjoyed helping people. And in companies, companies are a collection of people and a collection of problems, people problems. And, a long time ago, I remember back in the late 80s, actually starting coaching people by just helping them and helping them to focus on life balance and things. And that kind of got more what I'll call formal over the years, although I was always in the industry sector. But I just found that I was quite good at helping people to understand their personal issues or help them to overcome problems they had. And it just felt natural. So I decided that I would start doing this pretty much full time, which is what I do now.
Okay, so you've been there. I'm sure you've seen it every day. You've been helping these people. We've all felt it at some point where, feeling like we're leading these lives of quiet desperation. And if you listen to the news, it seems like it's just permeating society. What are we getting so wrong?
Well, you're absolutely right. And it's becoming very prevalent. What I see is I feel that people are just moving further and further away from happiness. They're being driven by things that they think will make them happy, but when in reality, it's not really making them happy. I feel it's a state of disconnection. What I call focusing on I consciousness, which is focusing on themselves versus what we call one consciousness. People tend to be driven by obsession, by attachment to things. And what I found even with myself was I was maintaining a self-image of something that I was really not, I guess, from the beginning. And it goes back to childhood. It's us versus them mentality. We've really lost our purpose. And, this is what I want to do is I really want to start helping people to regain what they were meant to be and to help them to find happiness, help them to be successful also. I'm not teaching people to be monks, but I'm teaching people to be successful and happy at the same time, which is possible.
So when you say happy, how do you define happy? I guess everybody defines it differently, but people are defining it by the things that they own, and then they're finding out that those things don't make them happy. So what's happiness?
Well, happiness, we can look at it two ways. So one is it's the absence of negative emotions, which negative emotions would be stress, anger, sadness, disappointment, depression, etc. So it's the absence of those things. But it's this feeling where, I guess you feel content, bliss, and it's not a feeling where you're like, it's not like a Prozac feeling where you have to be like just absolutely happy all the time, but it's just this content feeling where you feel like, life is not a problem and you can make decisions easily and things go the way you want to go more often than they don't. I guess this is how I would describe it, Janet.
Yeah. Okay. So when people are feeling happy and things, they feel that way, then I guess they are better at everything in their lives, even in their work lives. When they go to work every day, there's a certain approach that they take that has removed that negativity, and I guess they're just better at being an employee, a manager, a leader, a boss, correct?
Yes, absolutely. You know, people, when you make decisions and you make it from, let's call it a beautiful state, the decisions are typically good, they're sustainable, they're the right decisions. They don't offend other people. They're consistent, and you kind of, like, let's say, go with the flow of everything. And it's important with people to, you know, to feel and make decisions from the state versus a reactionary state or a depression state or an anger state. Those are what I call reaction states, whereas if we want to do things, we want to do it in a purpose-driven state where we're trying to achieve something, but we're doing it from a beautiful state, a happy state, not a reactionary state.
Mm-hmm. You have a great line in your book that says, we're all trapped by our history. So explain how this happens.
Well, it's true because, I mean, you know, I've studied a lot of NLP and I've studied a lot of psychology and things. And so it goes back to our childhood. You know, when we're born, we pretty much have no memory. We have nothing other than just wants. I mean, we want to eat and we want to sleep. But as we get a little bit older, we run into problems. We might not do what our parents want us to do, and we might get disciplined. We might, you know, fall and hurt ourselves. And so we start developing these things in our subconscious mind. We start storing everything in our subconscious mind. And the storage of these things start to affect how we behave. It affects our decision-making in the future. So it's an accumulation of things over many years it's like a disk drive, you know, our brain is a disk drive and just records these things. And then when we're faced with a new situation, instead of looking at the new situation without prejudice, what we do instead is our subconscious mind plays tricks with us and says, oh, well, you've had this situation before, or you've met a person like this before, and this was the outcome. Therefore, it influences your decision-making. And what we try to do, what I try to teach people, is we try to get rid of that. And we try to focus on things without prejudice. We try to focus on things where we give everything, every situation, and every person an equal and new opportunity all the time.
In a manufacturing situation, how do you go about not being trapped by your own history and the things that have happened to you in the past and how people have reacted to you and you've reacted to them? How do you not come to the situation with all that baggage?
Well, you know, I've learned some new tools since I was the big boss in big companies. The new tools are really, is one of the answers is going to be awareness. And awareness is being aware of the present. So there's three points in time. You have the past, which is an accumulation of memories, which is no longer real anymore. It's something that happened in the past. We have the future, which is imagination only. It hasn't happened yet either, but we tend to imagine a lot. And we have the present, which is now. And so what I do is you can only really be thinking about one of these points in time at any given time. So it's to align yourself with the present and say, okay, what's really going on here now? And, you know, in NLP, we have five modalities, which are our senses. And
right. Actually, Steve, I'm going to interrupt you there. Can you explain just what NLP is so that people know what we're talking about here?
Sure. So NLP is a study that was done, or it's a process that was done back in the 70s by a couple of guys. And basically, it's called neuro-linguistic programming. And it's the way that some people and a lot of people think that the mind works in the way we form our behaviors and things. So just to give a quick overview, you have reality, which is outside of you. So it's an accumulation of all the events that are going on. Then you have your senses, okay? In NLP, we call them modality. So there's five senses. These are your standard five senses of vision, hearing, taste, smell, and feeling. And so everything that occurs outside of you has to come through what we call our filters, which are these senses. And the problem is that there's so much stuff going on out there. They estimate it to be something in the order of 1 million bits per second of information, that your filters have to restrict this information going into your mind. So we do what we call generalize, distort, and delete information. And so then it goes into what we call our internal representation system, which is then what we react on. It's what we actually see and think about. And then we create our state, we create our beliefs, our values, and all these things as a result of that. So, the belief is that everything that comes into us is partially filtered, because we can't absorb all the information at the same time. Therefore, it's not necessarily 100% accurate, yet we're making decisions based on all this. So when I work with people, I help them to change what they have stored in their minds by different NLP techniques, which helps them to look at things, let's say, in a different way. Does this answer your question, Janet, as far as what is NLP? I'm trying to put it in layman's terms, but it's...
that makes sense. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a, just a basic NLP course is something like 80 hours. I mean, it's quite detailed. But, we start with what we sense, and it's what we think about, and it's how we interpret things. Mm-hmm. So you can interpret a situation any way you want, as long as somebody's not physically confronting you or something. If somebody just says something bad about you and you hear it, you have a choice. You can interpret that as, well, that bothers me, or that doesn't bother me, or it has no meaning to me. And so this is the basic premise, is to understand how the human mind works, so that we can then, like you said, in the workplace is an accumulation of all different types of problems. People's problems with balance in their life, people's problems with getting their job done, with motivation, all these things. But it's all based on psychology, NLP, and there's ways to change it and improve it.
Mm-hmm. You also say in your book that your thoughts create your state. And I think that's true, because, people say you get up in the morning, you have two choices. You can be miserable, or you can decide to be happy no matter what the situation is, right? So if your thoughts create your state, this is something that you have to do when you go to work every day, is say, I have to make sure I don't let this filter, that is my filter, mess up the communication that we're trying to have here because of, your own biases and whatnot, right?
Yeah, well, I do it in a little bit of a different way. And in my book, I actually created a word called graffirmation. It's gratitude affirmations. And so what I believe is that, if I were to say what you just said, and that is, okay, today I'm going to go to work and I'm not going to have any problems and I'm going to be happy or whatever. What that suggests to our mind is that we probably have problems, or we probably will have problems or whatever. So it creates a gap. And so what I like to do is, instead, I say, here I am right now in the present, and I will change, because linguistics is the key in NLP, and it's our language. And I will change the language, because the language is so important of what we say. I will instead say, thank you so much for today already being such a great day. It's like I'm already living the fact that it's going to be a great day. I don't ask for it to be a great day. I don't want it to be. I feel it already is. And because everything works on emotion and feelings, and I can talk about frequencies of the brain and how it connects and everything, that to me is the most powerful way for people to change, is by not saying I want, but instead saying, thank you, I have already.
Mm-hmm. So how hard is it when you're working with people to get them to see that?
Well, it's a journey. Okay. So there's no end of the journey. It's not a destination that we're at. Life is a journey. It's about continuously improving. Like in manufacturing, we have continuous improvement of processes, quality, and so forth. Life is the same thing. Okay. It's not about a step function. Hey, tomorrow I wake up and I feel perfect. No, it's an accumulation of little things that you do every single day, what I call habits, that will get you to improve. So what I do when I work with people is I help them to realize that, to change, It requires just a lot of little habits that they start doing every day that are different than what they've been doing. And when those habits, when you do these things enough, they become automatic, they become reflex. And then that's when you find, you don't even recognize it, but eventually you start changing, and then people around you will be like, wow, you're a lot different. What happened? So it's more about that, I think.
Mm-hmm. And we've all learned our habits from a very young age. And in the book, you talk about how from that very young age, 0 to 5, we get, you know, a lot of our thoughts and habits and actions. It's just part of our survival instinct. So in order to master your habits and sort of weed out the bad ones, how do you even recognize that you have a bad habit? Because some of them are just so natural to you, you don't even know that you're doing them.
Right. Well, it's about being aware. It's about being aware of your thoughts, about being aware of your actions, your behavior. You get feedback constantly from other people or situations yourself. You have to break yourself back. People are so far in trouble, let's say. Mm-hmm. You've got to go back to the basic to say, well, what was my purpose? What was I brought here for? And, you know, the ultimate goal of everybody really is to be happy. I mean, this is what we're all searching for. We just search for it in different ways. We avoid pain and we search for pleasure. This is Tony Robbins' favorite saying. And so I think that, you know, number one is when you're growing up and stuff, you accumulate all these thoughts, 80% of which are negative. And these are the things you remember. And so it's about changing your focus, because what you think about and what you focus on becomes what happens. And, you know, even if you look at like things like the law of attraction, there was a great movie called The Secret. It's about the fact that your thoughts become your reality, because what you think about creates this attraction of events to come into your life. And these are like much different thinking than I used to think about. I mean, being an engineer, I always thought logically, but you know, now I've taken the logic and I've added to it a step of the emotional mastery, let's say, and my life is totally different. It's amazing. And I can watch people change. I've changed a lot of people now.
So in manufacturing, if you're a leader of a manufacturing unit, and you look down the line, like you've got people who are on the front line and then you've got the management and all the way up. How do you bring that mental change through the system there?
Well, it starts with being genuine and showing compassion. So, you know, some of my studies about the mind and everything, I research some things, and there's a really good guy. His name's Greg Braden, and he does a lot of very good videos on Gaia.com. And basically, he hit it on the nail. He was apparently in Tibet at some high-level, high-altitude, let's call it, a place where there were people that studied this all the time, and he asked the question to them. And the answer was that when you show compassion to people, and it's not the physical showing of compassion, but it's the feeling showing of compassion. When you can show compassion to other people and other things, it doesn't just have to be people. That's when things begin to change. And so even when I was, you know, my last job, I mean, I was managing a large organization as managing director in aerospace. And, you know, I used to just show compassion to people, show that you care. Ask the right questions, because they can tell if you're asking questions to gain, you know, an advantage, let's say, or if you're asking questions out of genuine careness. And when you do this, people respond in a much different way. It's not about business anymore. They look at you as a person that cares about them. And when they see that, their work ethic, everything changes, it improves.
How many managers or business leaders have you spoken to who get this?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, I've been living in Asia for 20 years now, so we're going to have to talk about Asian business leaders. Mm-hmm. But actually, I've been coaching, CEOs of companies, high-level management people, VPs, things like this. And I would say the answer is everybody that I have talked to so far. Now, of course, you can't just you know, go in, start talking about things like this without having rapport first. And this is the first element in NLP, is developing rapport with the other person. And there's many techniques to do that, but before you start trying to get a person to change, you have to have rapport, deep connection with the person. Once you've established that, then the rest of this, I've been able to get people to readily accept it and be like, oh my God, where have I been all my life? And, you know, this is awesome. And just basic things to me, I mean, have been made huge changes in their ability to manage their teams.
That's Steve Pulaski. As a business executive, he has successfully turned manufacturing businesses around and led large teams of people. Throughout his career, he's focused on leading by example and coaching people to personal success. He now leads Infinity Achievers as a life coach, and he has a new book entitled Infinite Choices, Wisdom, and Change. Next week on the show, he's going to share some processes and activities that can help business leaders and individuals open up their potential to get more out of life, business, and the people they lead. I hope you'll join us then. That's our show for this week. Please check out our Twitter and LinkedIn feeds that are on our podcast page, and subscribe and share this podcast with your friends and colleagues through iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, and YouTube. The Make It Right podcast is brought to you by Kevin Snoop, leadership advisor and author of the best-selling book, Make It Right, 5 Steps to Align Your Manufacturing Business from the Front Line to the Bottom Line. I'm Janet Eastman. Thanks very much for listening to the Make It Right podcast.